You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Better late than never? Yeah. I needed a break, y'all. I just did. So we took one. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. Sometimes your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire, the USA Today Sports Media Group. Yeah, I took pretty much a big break from both the podcast and Wolverines Wire. I'm sure y'all kind of noticed. I just needed it some days. So I did that for health reasons. And we are back. It is Tuesday. We were doing the mailbag from last week. We were going to do it last Thursday, and there was not enough to constitute a whole show. But we do have enough now. So let's go ahead and get right into it, starting with our leaders and best, James Crudup at James Crudup 6. Did a player mention this year that they introduced bringing music to practice and it added juice? Does it seem like Michigan in some instances is still trying to catch up to the times? 100% on both. Yes, they. This is the first time, supposedly, at least as long as these players have been around, that they have added music to practice. We've heard multiple players mention it, and they've said it's gotten them significantly more hyped up than before. And it does seem like Michigan always is kind of like behind the times, because it seems like whenever I feel like I've watched Hard Knocks and seen them blaring music in practice. Maybe not all the time. But, you know, it's something that obviously I've seen other teams do. So it does seem like Michigan is somewhat behind the eight ball sometimes when it comes to a lot of that type of thing. And I don't understand why Michigan doesn't like to do some of those things that you would think that it would just be a standard practice. I don't know who was the one who suggested it, but maybe, I mean, when you got Mike McDonald, Mo Linguist, you got all these guys coming in, Mike Hart, someone obviously was like, hey, come on. I feel like even West Bloomfield had music at practice at times. Because I went to their practice last year. I don't have video to go back and look, and nor am I going to, but if I do. But I feel like there was music playing. I feel like there's been music playing at high school practices that I've gone to. So, yeah, I do think Michigan's a little behind the times as far as that is concerned. Josh Barra, Jadicky, if you had to rank the likelihood of who's the starting point guard next year, Eli Brooks, Zeb Jackson, Frankie Collins, someone not on the roster currently. I feel like Zeb Jackson is going to end up being a shooting guard for Michigan. I think he can play the point. I'm going to go ahead and put him down at the very bottom. Then I will go with Frankie Collins because I think it's unlikely that a true freshman comes in and starts at point guard in this particular program. I mean, obviously, one and dones are a thing, but in this particular program, I think it isn't necessarily how that's going to go. Someone not on the roster currently, I would put second overall because I would not surprise me if Juwan went out and got somebody. We saw that happen last year. Eli Brooks, I'll put it number one, because there's a lot of smoke that he'll come back. A random said that he's running it back. MGo Blog then reported that he's running it back. And I think he's obviously got that capability. And I welcome it. We obviously saw him in the last half of Michigan's last game of the season run the point. I'd be curious to see what that would look like. That would do wonders probably for his draft stock. Because I think he is ready to... I think he's ready for showtime right now. My brother in metal, Michael Wolf at MWolf21. Does the energy from spring practice and the young coaching staff, translate to games? We'll see. Because here's the thing, and I think it was either James or Josh who asked this a couple weeks ago about the front runner status that Michigan has tended. Was I worried about it? And I said, Michigan's been a front runner. You know, they've had that front runner status sometimes going back a decade. So I think that it could, but I want to know, like, if they get punched in the mouth, what happens, right? Do they, because that's kind of how things tend to go for this team sometimes. Get punched in the mouth and they let up. And then sometimes they fight back, and like Penn State in 2019. But Wisconsin, it just was like once they were down two touchdowns, that game was done, right? So I think part of it is if they get punched in the mouth, how do they respond? It's not the front runner thing. It's not every year. It's not every game. Obviously, they were down, 21-7 against Colorado. They punched right back and won by multiple scores. But I think that it'll help. Right? Like, this team, like, these guys got to realize that on paper, they're better. But you have to outwork. That's the other thing. That's the thing that Ohio State does, I feel, that it doesn't get enough credit. Like, yeah, they're the best team in the conference. They're one of the best teams in college football. But they work, right? They outwork people off of the field and then on the field. Michigan needs to have that mentality. They can't show up in with that old mentality of we're Michigan, we're just gonna beat you, and there's nothing you're gonna be able to do about it. I feel like that is heavily ingrained. I remember my Uncle Mike, my late Uncle Mike, talking about this in like 2005 or something like that. Of that's long been the Michigan mentality. We're Michigan. We're gonna run it down your throats, and we're just gonna beat you. You're just gonna cower at the sight of us, and there's nothing you can do about it. And we were talking about it then and saying, like, listen, it's just not what it is anymore. So hopefully they get that through their minds and the culture changes in that light. I feel like it started to change, and I feel like it changed back. And I think that there were people on the roster before. Some of them were processed. Not talking about this last year. I'm talking about a couple years ago. That had that front runner mentality. And I know that for a fact. So there were some culture problems and some people that did not feel like they had to work. Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1 finishing us out in segment 1. If the football team had a 4x100 track team, who would be your 4 sprinters and what order would you run them in? I'm going to include some that aren't on the roster yet. Or, you know, that haven't arrived on campus. I know people are worried about Xavier Worthy, but again, I was told very adamantly that he'll be on campus. So I'd put him as number 1, because I think he'll be the fastest guy. It's unfortunate Giles isn't there, because he wouldn't be number 2, but he'd be up there. Number 2, I think I would put I would put Roman Wilson. Number 3, I would put Blake Corum. And number 4, that one's tough, because I could go Andre Selden, or I could go Daxton Hill. I'm going to go Daxton Hill. That's who I'm going with. Dax would be my number 4. So, number 2, after spring practice rumblings, have you heard what positions you feel better about and which you feel worse about? I haven't heard, I haven't subscribed to any of those. Any of the subscription sites. I haven't talked to anybody, so I'm not going to pretend like I have or not. like I have knowledge. I've reached out to somebody, someone that's normally pretty reliable, and they never got back to me. So is what it is. I don't think there's any that I feel better or worse about as a result. And I'm more curious about what happens in fall camp than spring anyway. So. Spring is more about, you know, certain guys maybe starting to kind of find their groove, but it doesn't necessarily solidify it. Think back to 2016, Wilton Spate. Like, Wilton Spate had started to find his groove, and it started to feel like, all right, he could win the starting quarterback job. So it's more about setting up for the fall. And so I wouldn't have any vastly different opinions than I. And at this point, just kind of with what Michigan did last year, all of the talk from the staff mostly from Jim, about, you know, he really likes this team and how they have a togetherness, and he felt like it, you know, that was going to really pay dividends, and then it just fell apart. It didn't really seem like that togetherness existed beyond game 1. It's hard for me to look forward and say things are going to be vastly different. I don't know that they will be. I think they will be, but I don't think it's going to be necessarily vastly different. 7-5, 8-4, 9-3, somewhere in that range. depends on that Washington game and if that kind of ends up being a springboard. All right. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and for do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, RockAuto.com. All right, we are going to continue with the mailbag. Zach at Zach Woodruff 3. How are you? Thanks for all you do. Well, you are very welcome. I am doing quite well. Like I said, I needed a couple days. You need a break every now and again to kind of just resituate. But I'm doing well otherwise. So I appreciate you asking because, you know, we are people that are behind the voice or the articles or the Twitter accounts or the Instagram or whatever, you know. Here's a little illustration. It's like, so I'm seeing someone right now and they got me on TikTok, a month and a half ago or whatever. So I had started to put together some TikTok stuff. And then I'm sure some of you saw, cause I put it on, Instagram and on Twitter and Facebook and all of that stuff. And it was like about how I feel about the country in the sense that like, you know, we need to stop being partisans and we need to be treat each other with kindness and we're not going to solve our problems with anger and all of this stuff. And the only comment I got on TikTok, aside from said girl who was like, you know, beautiful message and whatever, was someone being like, where's the Michigan content? I want Michigan content. And it's like, come on, seriously? We're people too. There's some things outside of the scope of the job, you know. Obviously, I cared deeply about Michigan. But that was annoying. Anyway, KRT at Farmerk 84. Which incoming freshman or second-year player who saw limited action last year are you most excited to see this year? For me, excited to see what Braden McGregor can do. You know, I'm pretty close to seconding that. It's funny because he's an Aiden Hutchinson type guy. And Aiden became a force in his second year. And we just forget about Braden McGregor. Like, everyone wanted Braden McGregor. I know he didn't finish, like, it kind of looked at it for a time like he was going to finish as a five-star and then really got hurt in the rankings, especially when he got hurt. I'm definitely excited to see him. AJ Henning of the second-year guys is one that I'm super excited to see. I don't think it's any question that Donovan Edwards, if you've been listening for a while, you know Donovan Edwards is the guy as far as incoming freshman that I'm insanely excited to see. I think he can be an instant impact guy. I think he is the instant impact guy in the entire class. Jonathan Joseph at JJoseph 2156. Hey, I did it right. I didn't say JJ Joseph. Marvel or DC, and who's your favorite character among them? Well, that is very easy for me to say that it's Marvel. It's easily Marvel. DC, like, yeah, I liked the Christopher Nolan Batman. I've watched, I think, everything that's been out from DC. I didn't pay close attention to the Snyder Cut, but I had it on. is just too long for me to just pay attention to. So I just like had it on while I was scrolling TikTok and would kind of pay attention. It was just too much. As far as favorite character, though, that's really difficult coming from Marvel, like, because they're all of them are so great. Like, I even like the characters that I shouldn't love. Now, if we went back to my comic book days, and this is a guy that's not in the MCU yet, it's Gambit from the X-Men. Easily, but he's not in the, you know, X-Men aren't part of the MCU. I think it would just be, it would probably be Iron Man, because I just enjoy Robert Downey Jr. He's kind of like superhero Tyrion Lannister. So I think I get the most enjoyment out of the Iron Man films and Robert Downey Jr.'s contribution to all the other ones. But aside from that, I mean, I really like Black Panther, and may Chadwick Boseman rest in peace. And I don't know. I think that's pretty much it. Zach Van Lente at Lente Zach. Before the coaching overhaul, I was in favor of retaining Warner and Zordich for their development and overall success. How did these guys land at such underwhelming locations after being let go? What am I missing? I don't know, man. Because I'm with you. I'm right with you. I'm going to give you some inside baseball right now. I feel really bad. Warner did not. This is all I'll say. Warner did not know he was being let go. He did not know he was being let go. I think part of it is probably how late those guys were let go. I think a lot of staffs had already kind of formed by the time that. But yeah, it's FAU in Central Michigan is kind of surprising to me. Especially like, I know Zordich came out and said like, hey, you know, did you see how we were last year? I think he's just being too nice about it, being very magnanimous. He's got a really good track record. Ed Warner, I thought, did a great job even last year. So, I don't know, man. I don't get it either. But I understand the move more so, especially when you see like the youth and, you know, the recruiting. Warner was a great recruiter as well. But, you know, I guess if you're looking to like just make your entire team a bunch of recruiters, Zordich had kind of picked it up this last year. He definitely had. I don't think people realize how much he had picked it up. And, but I think that's part of it was this, hey, we need everyone, because that's when you look at like Ohio State and Alabama and Georgia and all these other schools, every single guy's recruiting, and Michigan, since Harbaugh arrived, had only had half the staff really out there recruiting, like at least hard. Now you've got an entire roster of coaches that are all very good. So that's that. Finishing us out in segment two, Brandon at Brandon S616. I understand Michigan is looked at as a football school. Why is the football team constantly overhyped in the media when it's been good compared to the basketball team that has shown consistently to be top tier over the last few years and are constantly slept on? Well, Michigan's a blue blood, obviously, is part of it. And that's always going to happen with certain schools, that whether they're blue blood or fringe blue blood. Look no further to USC. Look no further than to Tennessee. Schools that are always like, that just, they win a couple games and everyone's like, look out for these guys. Right? Last year, Tennessee won its first game and everyone was all of a sudden like, Tennessee might be legit. Tennessee might be legit. And they weren't. USC had a pretty good year last year, but every single year it's like, USC, it's back. It's back. Texas, it's back. That's why. It's just certain schools are always going to get that benefit of the doubt, especially because schools like Michigan, Texas, USC recruit pretty well. As far as the basketball team, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand why it doesn't really get the hype. Because, yeah, it's been basically a decade of... Basically, it's been the best Big Ten team the last decade. But I guess it's just when you're going through the wilderness for 20 years almost, 15 years, however long it was, and you have the stain of the scandal and everything like that, it's hard to imagine that it's sustainable. So that would be my guess. All right. BetOnline.ag, it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, Major League Baseball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, reality TV, with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and guess what? It is free to sign up. So head over to BetOnline.ag to sign up today. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. Receive that 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, we got five more for you. So starting with Greg at Greg's Korean Barbecue. If all of the Michigan insiders, beat writers, etc., competed in a combine, who would grade out the highest? That's interesting. That's really interesting. I think Zach Shaw would probably end up grading out the highest, ultimately. He's in pretty good shape. He ran a marathon on his own. He lifts. I'm a little too old. I think I would have been right there about 3-4 years ago. Definitely like 2017. I was putting up NFL combine numbers in the weight room. Part of that was because I think I was taking creatine and I was taking all kinds of stacks. There was a day where I put up 225 pounds. It was either 29 times or 31 times. And I was like, are you serious? It was easy. I can't put up 225 at all right now. Like, you could be like, $1 million, put it up once, couldn't do it. I'm slow, I can't run right now. I try to stay in shape by walking, or I'm trying to get back into shape by walking exorbitant lengths. Just walked 15 miles the last 2 days with a very hyper puppy that loves it and is still pulling at the end of 8 mile walks. So let's see, it would be Zach. I'd be in the top five, I think, still. But I don't know who else. I think Bryce Smerich is probably relatively fast. Austin Fox is in pretty good shape from Rivals. I think that would be about it. I can't think of anyone else that is younger. That's what I'm going with. We would be your four. The Gulo, at The Gulo, which is also Zach Larrabee here. Have you heard how the defense is adjusting to the new multiple defensive scheme? I have not. They haven't really put it out there. Number two, what do you think is the biggest win highlight should be for this program coming out of spring ball? I mean, honestly, just the fact that it got through it, considering they didn't have it last year. I think that that's a big reason, especially with a new starting quarterback, why there was so much of a struggle. I think that just being able to get through it, install the defense as much as it could, get Cade and JJ and Dan Vellari reps, and I think that competition is going to open right back up come fall with Alan Bowman. I think that's the biggest win, because it was sorely needed. Sorely, sorely needed after everything that happened last year, not getting a bowl game to practice for, having all the issues that the team had late in the year with COVID. So I think that just getting all the way through all of it is huge. Derek Tell at Derek. That's pretty cool that you're able to get your first name as your handle. Do you think that Juwan Howard could bring in another senior grad transfer at point guard? Mike Smith had a great year overall, plus Xavier Simpson and Derek Walton had great senior years in recent memory. I absolutely think he can. I don't know enough about basketball recruiting to know who would be targeted. I don't think anyone honestly had a list that said Mike Smith and Shaundi Brown were options anyway before they both committed. But I definitely would imagine that they're in the market for one. So we'll see. Stone at StoneB09. There's been a lot of noise about transfers out of the football program. By my math, 14% of the players on the roster transferred out so far. In contrast, the basketball team had 18% transfer last year, but no one cared. Do you think this is as big of an issue for the football team as it's being made out to be? No, I do not. That said, some of them hurt more so than in previous years. I think losing Zach Charbonnet and Joe Milton, that hurts. I do think simultaneously, though, with Charbonnet in particular, I think you needed to lose someone in the running backs room. If they were going to be as weird about the rotation as they were last year, they just had too many capable guys and they weren't settling on anybody. So I think with that in mind, it's addition by subtraction, but it's not good optically. But outside of those two, who are you really looking at as being like a primary contributor? And that's been the case every single year. I mean, even 2017, with the exception of Aubrey Solomon, and that I'll say like that was something that was kind of, it was just going to happen. It was. They really haven't lost many or any guys. Oh, Giles Jackson too this year. He's another guy that would have been a primary contributor. So they lost three guys that very well, two and a half, they would have been primary contributors, depending on what Milton would have been able to do. But for the most part, they hadn't been losing guys, and still even this year, I mean, you lost Ben Van Sumeren, you lost Adam Shibley, you lost Adam Fakih, you lost who else? It's we're not talking about Luigi Villane, Christian Turner. We're not talking... Luigi, I think, could have taken that step forward, but maybe he doesn't fit in the system. Or at least he didn't feel like he did. You're not losing Aiden Hutchinson. You're not losing Christopher Hinton. You're not losing Daxton Hill. You're not losing Zach Zinter. You're not losing a lot of guys that were necessarily going to be the top guy. And so, I mean, that's fine. That's the way I look at it. It's fine. I think the bigger issue is the fact that they lost so many of the guys in 2017. Because those would have been the guys that would have really led the team this past year. That would have been those big starters this past year. You don't want to lose a whole class. You lose some guys, especially former walk-ons like Shibley and Fakih. That's fine. That's okay. You know, like, that's part of college football. Finishing us out, Rick at the Rick 3745. Will they look like an actual football team this year? Who are the starting wide receivers? I feel like they will. I don't know that it will be great yet. I feel like maybe there's some rebuilding that needs to be done, especially culturally, hence the complete overhaul of the defensive staff. But I think they'll be a lot more competitive. We'll see if they can finish. I wonder if it'll end up looking more like 2015 than it looked in 2017 or 2019. But I think it'll be more that than what we saw in 2020. As far as starting receivers, I think it would be Ronnie Bell, Cornelius Johnson, Mike Sanders still. Or Roman Wilson. Sanders still or Roman Wilson. That would be my guess. All right, that'll do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll do another mailbag later in the week. Since we're doing this one on Tuesday, we're obviously not just going to jump right into another one for Thursday, but we'll do it either Friday or something. We'll do it because I think out of all the weeks that we normally do this, we always get at least the mailbag in. So we'll get another one in at some point. Anyway, thank you for listening. We will talk to you again soon. Peace.